The education department is giving perspective to managers, giving them a chance to walk in their supervisor shoes before they take them on permanently. A program called A Day in the Life lets GS 14 and 15 employees see what it's like to be a manager by shadowing a current one for a few days. Quay Crowner is the education department's acting deputy chief administration officer and HR director. She tells executive editor Jason Miller how the Day in the Life program is part of a broader employee engagement effort going on across the agency.
We've done it for a couple of years. It's been primarily in our federal student aid organization. The last few years, we've probably sent approximately 50 employees through A Day in the Life.
Is it being expanded outside of federal student aid? Is it through all of education now, or do you have plans to do that?
It's not at this point. What we want to do is get a couple of years under our belt and be able to show that it is working or not. But I will tell you, the initial feedback that we get from the employees who go through it, and not just the employees, but also the managers and other individuals that have an opportunity to engage in that program, it's effective.
So they show up at 8 a.m. and 7:30, whatever the time is, and they just basically shadow the executive all day. How does the program work?
A little more structured. A little more structured than that. I mean, actually, at the end of the day, I mean, it is managed by our workforce development training program office. And essentially what we do is we establish some goals on the front end. What is it that we really want individuals to walk away with? And we really want them to walk away with the full experience, as much as they can get in a few days, of what it really means to be a supervisor. So it's not just the pretty picture. It's not just about the possibility of an increase in pay, the possibility of a larger cubicle or office. It really is about some of the challenges and issues that they focus on, and not only dealing with work, but dealing with supervising, managing employees, working with other peers in the leadership ranks, possibly some of the either political, legislative, or regulatory issues that come up as well. So they take a few days and they shadow the managers and or executives, and they really go through that process.
Is the executives chosen by you follow your direct manager, or do you go into a different part of student aid and shadow somebody else? How is that decision made? And then the other piece of it is obviously you're not going to do your work for that day or those 2 days or 3 days. How do you get other managers to sign off on potentially, quote unquote, losing an employee for that short amount of time?
The federal student aid leadership is focused on development and employee development at all levels. So there really isn't a concern or issue about the fact that you may actually lose a day or two or three of work, because essentially we're building and supporting our current resources, and we want to be able to do that. It's an investment. So at the end of the day, we have no issues with employees being able to leave in order to take on this assignment. The individuals that are chosen are not necessarily the employee's immediate supervisor. As you know, having a frontline manager, there's already a relationship there in place. And in some cases, we really want to take the employee away from that day-to-day relationship and focus on other parts of the organization to broaden the experience.
So this has been going on for a few years. About 50 employees have been through it. What kind of feedback are you getting, generally speaking? Is this, and have you made some tweaks from based on that feedback to the program?
Definitely some tweaks. The first few sessions that we sent employees through, the feedback was good in that they got exposure that they'd never gotten before. As with most federal agencies, a lot of the organizations are very stovepipe. You really don't have an opportunity to gain awareness of what's going on across the organization. So awareness alone was good. However, employees still struggled a little bit with trying to figure out, so what do I do with this at the end of this experience? So some of the tweaking has been that follow-on support discussion, career planning that we can provide the employee.
You also talked about a Pathways to Leadership program. Is this Day in the Life part of the Pathways to Leadership, or is that a separate program?
It is a separate program, and that currently is offered across all of Department of Education. Pathways to Leadership is actually a one-year-long program. Employees go through a small C competition process to be selected into the program, and they spend a year with peers going through various projects, programs, development opportunity.
When you get chosen, the idea here is to get a little bit from column A, a little bit from column B, and a little bit from column C, so you see how education department works, and you get to experience different management styles, different management areas of the government. Is that the concept, basically?
That is the concept, and what I really like about it is we start that program at the GS 11. So it's a GS 11, 12, 13, so it's individuals that are actually at the point where they're ready to decide if, in fact, they want to move into leadership positions. I think once we have employees in leadership positions and we focus on training and development, it's good and it's needed, but it really makes sense to start before before they move into leadership positions.
The other thing you mentioned that I thought was interesting, and I'm wondering if how many other agencies do this as well, is the concept of sometimes people don't want to be managers, but you know their career should not be stagnated because they don't want to move up into something that they maybe don't want to do or wouldn't be good at. So you mentioned about developing the senior technical positions, which gives people a career path to maybe more money, more responsibility, but not necessarily management. Talk about a little bit about how that came about and some of the results you're seeing from it.
I think it really was just having several folks sit down and have some discussions about what's working and what's not working. And those several people are not just a group of leaders who sit around the table and have the discussion. It really is about the hiring managers. Who are we good at getting in place in these positions? Are they working out? It really is about looking at the performance data and, you know, the individuals that we're selecting into positions, are they being successful? It really is looking at the employee feedback and how employees feel about their supervisors and managers. And the Federal Student Aid Organization within FSA has some flexibilities because we are a performance-based organization, but we didn't need any flexibilities to do this. It really was just about looking at the classification. It was getting the feedback. It was creating an organizational structure that allowed for that type of success and movement.
Is education finding that sometimes that decision is actually making the agency better because you have people who maybe normally would have been pushed into a management role that eventually somebody would have had to remove them out or just dealt with a bad manager for years and years and years? Are you seeing that in terms of people coming to you and saying, thank you for this program that, you know, makes my career that much better?
It's definitely a success. I mean, we also have individuals who very clearly state to their managers and others, I never want to be a supervisor. The first thing is they have a perception of what supervision is. So these programs give them an opportunity to see it firsthand. It may or may not be what they originally perceived. And the second piece is those people who say they don't want to move into management are not bad people. They are people who, of course, can contribute. And in most cases, we don't want to lose them. So we just want to make sure there's an opportunity for them to be placed somewhere else in the organization.
It was interesting because several of the speakers today talked about the idea that money is tough to come by to reward employees, new positions, meaning because of hiring freezes or because people aren't retiring at the rate, or for whatever reason, the ability to be promoted is tougher. Are you finding ways to say, okay, well, let's deal with those challenges and still motivate employees, still ensure they're engaged, and ensure they're happy? Because while I think money is a huge motivating factor, it's not the only one to a certain extent.
Agreed. And we hear that from our employees as well. Of course, who wouldn't mind an extra couple of bucks in the paycheck every now and then? And that is appreciated when it is received. But I think what's most important is not waiting for the performance bonus or the possible special act award that occurs once a year. It really is about what happens throughout the year. So the employee discussions, the manager discussions, the motivation, the messages from senior leadership, in some cases access. When our secretary or our assistant secretary allow our employees in order to sit down and have brown bag lunches and they're able to share thoughts and ideas and feedback, I think oftentimes that is more appreciated than a dollar.
One of the things that you talked about, leadership and brown bag lunches, and the other thing that we heard several times during the panels today was focused on employee engagement councils or some way to bring an advisory council together. Is that something education also is doing?
Yeah, we actually have several employee advisory councils across the organization. We also have in place several employee affinity groups as well. What we don't want to do is we don't want to make engagement the topic of the month or the topic of the year, and then unfortunately when engagement is no longer in fashion, then the council rolls off and they feel no longer productive or unable to contribute. So we try not to necessarily jump on the bandwagon and call the council the Employee Engagement Council. But yes, we have several councils that we make sure are often connected and share information, thoughts, ideas, and also action plans occasionally in order to make sure that, again, we aren't stovepiped even from the council perspective, but also more importantly that we get results.
How do you ensure that those recommendations, those suggestions that come from those councils not only make their way to the top, but actually get implemented? Because I imagine you hear this, nothing's more frustrating frustrating than, well, I suggested something and I have no idea whatever happened to it.
The first thing is it's really about communication and setting the expectations up front, because not everyone who submits a recommendation is going to have that recommendation implemented. But I think that we do owe those individuals a status of what is going to happen, if anything, and a little bit of feedback. And also, there are things that can be implemented at the local level. You don't necessarily have to shoot it up to leadership in order to get it put in place. So we do try and make sure that we communicate with those individuals who submit recommendations and things so they know where things are.